Now, Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services.
Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara, and you are listening to Talk Real Estate. I am going to be your host for the next hour. Let me share a little bit about my background before we get started. I am the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, located on the South Shore, and I have been working as a full-time realtor and sales and marketing consultant for home buyers and home sellers for the past 15 years. I have helped hundreds of clients throughout the home buying and home selling process. My unique approach to assisting my clients to the next chapter of their lives is driven by being a team player and by offering them continuous training, education, advising, and mentoring. I like to say that I offer my clients exceptional service that moves you. Every week, I will be providing you with real estate topics ranging from home buyer and home seller advice, legal matters, insurance binders, flood insurance concerns, home inspection questions, environmental worries like radon, lead paint, and mold, mortgages and loan programs, staging tips and ideas, real estate contracts, market trends, home values, and more. It's a talk radio show, and sometimes we are even interactive, so you can follow along online. If you have any questions during the show, please call 781-837-4900. We love to talk real estate. If you missed any of our shows, or if you want to listen to one again, you can listen on my podcast at talkrealestateradio.com. If you would like a one-on-one consultation with me regarding your home sale or your home purchase, I'd love the opportunity to meet with you. You can connect with me anytime at bostonconnect.com or 781-826-8000. Now, sit back, relax, take good notes, and let's talk real estate. Good morning to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara, and you are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and my sidekick, Cindy Ford. We are, of course, both from Boston Connect Real Estate. We are both full-time realtors. I wish it was full-time. 40 hours sounds glorious to me right now, doesn't it?
Yes.
And why can't I really hear you?
Can you not?
Okay,
can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? I can hear you now.
Here I am.
Yep, there you are.
Okay.
And we're not even on our cell phones. I'm going to make sure
mine's off.
Silent. Okay. So thank you for joining us here this morning. We have one of our favorite co-hosts with us today, and I got to tell you, the last time we were like almost like
had to break the two of you
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
It was I enjoyed it a little bit. I don't mind telling you, I thought it was kind of funny. But I had to it's a good thing you were on opposite sides of the table.
I know, but hey, it was all in fun.
Mm-hmm. Been waiting for you.
Company too. Isn't that what you wanted us to be known as?
Yes.
That's what you said on the last show.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm telling you. So for those of you, for those of you who don't know, we are listening. You're listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, not Three's Company, but we have Daniel Mann here from Fairway Mortgage. Mm. And as you all know, Fairway is the main sponsor of Boston Connect Real Estate radio show here on WATD Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford. And last time we were on, so I went for a walk. I was just telling you on Monday. That's why I left, because I had to tell him you got to find that. I went for a walk the other morning, and Cindy wasn't able to join me. And I said, what am I going to listen to? I said, I'm going to listen to my own podcast, right? Yeah. So if you didn't know, you can listen to past shows on our podcast. So go to your podcast app and you can go to Talk Real Estate Radio, or you can go to talkrealestateradio.com and find all of our past shows. But I got to tell you, I was listening to our show, Dan, hilarious.
It was funny.
Hilarious. And you were like, yeah, we're like Three's Company, right? So that's why we had that. So every time he's on, Rye, I hope that we'll play that every time, and then people will know.
I'm on it.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, he's good. I mean, that was like
best.
In a minute he
Two
had
seconds.
That for us.
And
so.
He brought all his other songs last time. What, we have Run DMC.
Yeah. Yep. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I was singing, what was I singing yesterday in the office, and somebody videoed me. Do you ever go over a friend's house to eat and the food just ain't no good? Yeah. I started singing that a little bit the other day.
Rapper's Delight.
I don't remember that.
Rapper's Delight.
Yep. I was singing that. So we get a little silly here, but it is, you know, we want to talk business today. We're going to be talking all kinds of, you know, the market has been so busy, and I think Cindy and I get a little slap happy a little bit sometimes when we get here. Of course, when we're accompanying our friends like Dan here. But we want to talk about what to do when problems arise when you're going for a mortgage, and sometimes they do, And most times they don't.
Right.
Right.
Well, I would say maybe there are times that it happens that you don't let us know about it. You're just taking
yes.
care of it, right?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Thank you That's for doing
true.
That, by
That's
the
true.
Way.
Yes.
I have enough stresses everywhere else in my life. So I appreciate that. We're also going to try to get the chance to talk about bad pre-approvals, because Cindy had mentioned that, you know, sometimes we get bad pre-approvals in front of us, and, you know, how to, you know, handle home inspections and how to overcome obstacles throughout the process, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
For
perfect.
Sure.
So, Sin, where do you want to start?
I found my glasses. Sorry.
Yeah, she's like, the morning.
morning. I haven't had enough coffee yet. I'm so sorry. Yeah. So I lost the sheet that you already gave me.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's all right.
Oh,
that's
I missed my glasses.
There's your glasses. They were right on top of the sheet.
That's why she couldn't find them.
That's true.
Honestly.
Chicken or the egg situation.
Yeah. To know me is to love
me. Are you seeing problems right now? Dan, why don't you tell us some of the things that are going on that you're seeing in the industry,
What we find is there's a lot of, you know, credit issues with people. Mm-hmm. You know, for instance, and I'm sure you guys might have had this one happen. This is one that you would probably find out about. If someone, you know, is going to buy a house, we pull credit, you know, do a pre-approval.
Mm-hmm.
Well, within 5 days of closing, there's a new credit report pulled.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure there was no new debt added, they didn't miss a payment on something, the credit score didn't change. This wasn't the way years ago. It's probably been this way maybe 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, back in the day, you pulled one credit report and that was good. And people could go buy their furniture, which happens a lot for a property.
We tell them not to, by the way.
That's
we do.
Great advice, because now when you get that second report, mm-hmm. if there's an extra $300 a month on that debt ratio, that could kill a deal.
Mm-hmm.
So we always tell people, you know, try and emphasize as much as possible, don't miss any payments, because when that second credit report is pulled, it's after the commitment date.
Can we talk about that credit report? Because mm-hmm. you have what you call a hard credit report or mm-hmm. a hard pull or
yep,
something.
That's
and
data
then
data
that
kinda.
Can, if, and if you do, and if you pull someone's credit report too many times,
mm-hmm.
can it affect their credit?
Yes.
Because a number of points. So you have to be careful, especially if someone's already supposedly been pre-approved and maybe with the hard. So let's talk about that for a second.
What they do is that what they tell us, because we try and have some credit experts come in and talk to us, because, you know, obviously we don't know it all. But they'll
you don't?
Yeah.
You know
so
it all.
Oh, I'm done.
They,
I'm out of here.
So what they'll do is they'll tell us that, yeah, you can get your credit report pulled by, say, a couple of mortgage companies. They have what's called a shopping window. So because they know you're looking for a mortgage. So,
mm-hmm.
But when you have a problem is if you had a credit card company pull your credit report, that's a hard pull. You go for a car loan and then you come to us. Those are three hard inquiries right in a row.
Mm-hmm.
That will affect your score.
Mm-hmm.
But they say, I think it was a weird number, like 13 days you have in between pulls. If it's the system is supposed to recognize that it's a mortgage company pulling your credit mm-hmm. and assume that you're just kind of shopping around at the beginning pre-approval process. So it's not supposed to affect you.
So if you have, say, a 750 and then you have multiple pulls or a pull, how much lower will the score go? And then how long does it take to earn those points back?
The problem is each bureau, there's three bureaus when you pull credit, there's Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. They all have their own algorithms on how much it will affect you. So you never know. And just like when someone tells you, oh, what's the best credit score you can have? They each have their own high.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird, and different things affect them different ways. So at one bureau, it might drop significantly, and one, it might not drop so much. But the problem is we use the middle score. So if the middle score is the one that drops, mm-hmm. then you have a problem. So a lot of times we tell people when your score is above a 740, unless you're in the jumbo loan world,
mm-hmm.
there's no rate adjustments. So it doesn't matter if you're a 740 or a 800.
Okay.
It really
it
won't affect your rate.
Okay.
So
that's sort of like insurance. Like, I don't get points, you know, kudos because
I've never been
in an accident. But as soon as I get in an accident, they, you know, make your insurance go up.
Crazy.
But, I mean, it should be. Don't you think you should have a better rate for good behavior?
You do.
Oh, you do?
We do. We get
steps.
Oh, no. Not insurance. I'm talking about in mortgages.
Oh, I thought you were talking about your car insurance.
Yeah, well, I was sort of putting it together.
Yeah,
I was, you know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean?
So when that's what it is. So, but it does affect your credit once you're below a 740. So if you're 720 to 739, so it goes in 20-point
mm-hmm.
increments, that begins to affect it. And then the lower you go, it really starts to hit you conventionally. With the FHA programs, it's not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Mass Housing, they try not to hit you so much. So some of the quote-unquote mm-hmm. low-income mm-hmm. you know, products, it doesn't hurt you as much.
So if I have an 810, it doesn't really matter if I have an 810 or a 740?
Nope.
Really?
Unless you're in the jumbo world, it won't change your rate.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you get, you know what I mean? And now with that credit score, though, you will probably have less, you know, debt. So yeah. what it's going to help you is your debt ratio will be probably better.
Yeah.
That's just a little bit of an assumption there, mm-hmm. like a leap, but that's normally the way it is. You're not going to be carrying a ton of debt, so your monthly minimum payments mm-hmm. are going to be lower. Therefore, you can afford more because basically debt ratio is a huge, you know, issue
yeah.
with loans. Like some have a hard line 45. Mm-hmm. You can't be above 45, which debt ratio is all your monthly debts divided by how much you make, you know, qualified income.
Okay.
So you divide those two. Now, a little thing can change that.
Okay. So I want to back up to that for a minute. So talk about the qualified income. So is that like after taxes and all of
it's
that?
It's actually before taxes.
Okay.
But we need to see your tax returns in case someone takes some unreimbursed business expense that they don't tell you about. And a okay. lot of times you'll ask someone.
I need an example because now we're talking a bunch of numbers and stuff.
Perfect example. I have a client, again, that has great income.
Yeah.
So she went and took, you know, I'll just kind of fudge some numbers. Say she had $100,000 in income.
Yeah.
I said, you have an unreimbursed business expense? No. This is why we get tax returns. $25,000 in unreimbursed business expense.
Mm-hmm.
So now that brings your income down to $75,000.
Okay.
That's a big difference on what you can qualify for.
Okay.
So that's kind of just a example of qualified income. I won't get into this nuts and bolts where some kind of times that really won't affect you.
Yeah.
If it's less than a quarter of your income with conventional, okay. you know, you don't want to know all that.
Yeah.
But that's how when
that's
people.
That's why I have you.
Yep. That's why when people call you though and they say, well, I make, you know, $120,000 including my overtime.
Yeah.
Well, unless you've had that overtime for 2 years,
mm-hmm.
it's an average of that. So you take your base plus your overtime. So people are basing their numbers off of, mm-hmm. oh, I made $110,000 this year.
What about things that people do that they don't realize? And I don't know how they couldn't realize this, but like trying to change jobs in between getting a mortgage.
That's very bad. I've had people do that and they don't tell you. There's people that feel like things aren't going to come out in the wash at the end.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, it's
it does.
So many.
Everything does.
Everything does.
Everything.
So, mm-hmm. but they, I think they feel that someone else is going to see it. It's just fair, you know, the underwriters that see this. It's not like we're reporting to anyone, so they just feel like they want to hide something, their bank statements or something like that. It's very weird. But what was your next question?
Oh, there's smoke coming out of his ears.
I just pulled the Cindy.
That's not good.
Oh, look, a new shiny thing. You might have ADD, and I might. Oh, perfect. This is a great table, by the way. I'm just so happy you joined us, Ryan. Look, I love that we can get a genuine little giggle out of him in there. He's just minding his own business, and he's like, she's going to pull me in. I know she is.
Oh, yeah. I don't mind. This is my entertainment for the day.
See, I told you we would make you smile.
Yeah. Don't worry, our baby Ryan back
did
there.
Did that thought come back to you, Dan?
Yeah, no. We were giving you time. That's what that was all about.
Well, you can interrupt us at any point when it does come back, because we do that all the time.
I just need the question again.
Oh, what was your question?
I can't remember.
Wow.
And I don't remember what the
No,
talking
I
about.
Think that my question was...
Oh, something... how do people change jobs?
When people change jobs.
So that's that. Wow. That's one smart one of us. So
don't give her that credit right now.
I'm sorry. Did you
repeat
that?
No. He said nothing. Beep.
So, oh, yes, that is like a swear. It's like a swear when you beep that up.
Beep.
So, yes, you cannot change jobs in the middle of, you know, because there's no history there on that job. So if people are trying to use overtime income, when you switch your job, that overtime income just went away because how do they know this new job will have overtime?
Well, I'm sorry, Sin, I could see that you were going. No, I could see you were going in. I saw the hand go up, and I'm sorry, it was already out.
Well, now she feels empowered that she showed us up by remembering that.
I probably already forgot. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, but what about like when people are like, say they're a nurse at, you know, Brigham and Women, and then they become a nurse over at Mass General?
As long as they can basically show 30 days of pay stubs, and if it's not a commissioned job or...
So 30 days of pay stubs would probably be two.
Yes.
Right? Yep. If you get paid every other week.
Yep. Yeah.
Right?
But it's... You can't be commissioned, though, in that state. It has to be, you know, an hourly job.
You can't
job
be contracted labor
job.
Or per diem or
yep,
something like
because
that.
Because that changes everything because, you know, we had
we
that
have
happen.
A situation. We have every situation.
Yeah. It's just someone, same job for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
They switch to a per diem. Now they're still in same exact job. They just switched to per diem.
Making more money.
Yeah, you actually did tell me about that.
Yeah.
So is that, it's not worked itself out yet? No?
No. You need a year's worth of...
At least a year.
So that they can see what they claim for... expenses. Mm-hmm.
And see, it's supposed to be 2 years, to be honest. But sometimes they'll
give exceptions. Dan, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from the expert. I know it was your situation. Can I hear from the expert?
But I pay attention when he talks, and I listen. Oh, my God. Coffee? Someone? Powder? Anyone?
Oh, help us out. Have you seen our new videos, by the way?
Yes, I have seen one of them.
Have you seen them, Ryan? The videos are so good. Oh, Ryan isn't paying attention anymore.
Wait till we do yours. We didn't know what we were talking about, so we couldn't do it.
So with that whole job thing, I mean, that makes sense. So if you're going for a loan in the process, do not change jobs. No. What happens if you get fired or laid off and then get another job?
You would have to get the new job, and then we use the new income as long as you can. It's, again, salaried or hourly job in the same industry. You can't, and then you can't really, you know, go outside of the kind of the same. It's got to be related in some way. It doesn't have to be the exact same job, but it has to be related.
Okay. Well, you're listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford. And, of course, we have Daniel Mann here today from Fairway Mortgage. Fairway Mortgage is our main sponsor here for our show for Boston Connect Real Estate and for Talk Real Estate here at WATD. We have to go to a break, I think, at some point soon. But before we get there, if you want to listen to any of our past shows, go to our podcast, which is Talk Real Estate Radio. You can go to talkrealestateradio.com. And you can also just go to bostonconnect.com. Under the media page. We're actually going to, Cindy doesn't know yet, but we're in the process of creating a Facebook page too, just for the show. So that way there you can go online and ask us questions that we can be asking our, you know, co-hosts. So we want to know what you want to know from our co-hosts. So feel free to do that. You can also get in touch with me and Cindy. My cell phone is 781-294-4848 and Cindy's is 781-367-4419.
I think I've been banished from talking for the rest of the show.
No, you have not.
I'm not sure.
So, I'm not sure. I think we might be ready for a break. So, we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about credit issues because I want to bring up something. And then we're going to talk about what to do when other problems arise. We'll be right back.
Whether you're buying your first home, moving across town, or thinking about refinancing, you owe it to yourself to speak with a trusted mortgage advisor who can provide highly personalized service through every step of the loan process. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation's Marshfield branch is a well-respected local and national lender and can help you achieve both the short-term goal of home ownership and the long-term goal of financial security for you and your family. Having originated more than $11 billion in 2015, Fairway has competitive rates and extensive product availability. For instance, you may even be eligible to receive a down payment assistance grant of up to 5% of your loan that you don't have to pay back. Seems too good to be true? Call the Fairway Marshfield branch at 781-536-4172 and ask for Daniel Mann to see if you qualify for this amazing program. Don't be scared about the home financing process. Let Dan show you that his way is the Fairway. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS 2289, is an equal housing lender. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify. Information, rates, and programs are subject to change without notice. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Daniel Mann, NMLS 150772, Mass Branch License 338980.
Plumbing problems are inevitable. Sad to say, do not fix it yourself. After all, that's your home you're living in. McNamara Plumbing. New construction, renovations, repairs, service calls. McNamara Plumbing. Fully insured. 781-294-7100. McNamara Plumbing.
Are you thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300.
This is Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford on 95.9 WATD.
And we're back. Good morning to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara along with Cindy Ford. And we also have Daniel Mann here with us this morning from Fairway Mortgage. And we're talking about all things mortgage. And we're talking about credit issues and credit scores. And we're also talking about what to do when problems arise. And sometimes they do, you know. So, mm-hmm. I mean, having a good team in place is certainly the best thing for that. Bad pre-approvals. And I know it sounds like a negative show, but these are some of the things that come up. But if you're just one of those people who got stuck in a rut, so to speak, maybe you lost your job, maybe you had some type of an illness, you weren't able to make some payments, I mean, something that did something to affect your credit score. Dan, when these people come to you, I mean, do you have any type of credit advice that you like sort of sit down and sort of give them suggestions of what to do?
Yeah, I mean, so I can see, you know, the kind of major problems that we can fix. You know, I don't want to say I'm a credit advisor or anything like that, but there's little things that we all know we can do to, you know, get balances paid down. It's easier said than done. Again, like you just said, people get into trouble. It happens.
Yeah.
So you find out which ones will give you paying off, would give you the most bang for your buck. You know, we were talking about if you have, you know, say $3,000 to allocate towards paying down bills. Well, what you don't want to just go pay off one card, most likely, depending on the scenario. I'd have to look at a report, but you might want to apply that $3,000 over three cards, and that will help your debt ratio more. And again, one thing we remarked about, you never want to close a credit card after you pay it down or pay it off, because the history of a card actually helps more. So for example, a Cap One card opened last month is not as valuable to your credit report as one opened 4 years ago.
Okay.
Because now you have 4 years of making payments on time that will help that card. That makes your score grow.
Okay.
Okay. So, but that's what it is. So you want to focus kind of on the minimum monthly payment. People say, oh, I have this card with $10,000 on it. I'm going to pay that off and it's going to help me buy more.
Yeah.
Well, no, not necessarily. You could pay off four cards that were a total of $3,000 in debt, and the minimum payments might add up to the more than paying off that $10,000 card.
Let me ask you this question too. And, you know, Cindy made a mention to you, you can talk about that after us and with the smaller companies, you know what I mean? Like the smaller stores that you're going into and everything. And I've told my story before that I was refinancing at one time and it was a Kohl's card that I didn't even remember that I bought something in there. So every time it came in, I thought it was zero. So I just kept on ripping it in half and throwing it away. Well, it was like 4 months. And I remember they're like, you need to pay your Kohl's bill. I go, I have no idea what you're talking about. $46.19 or something. It was something ridiculous. But so with the bigger cards, what if I have, you know, three major cards? I have a Visa, a MasterCard, and an Amex. And I have, you know, let's just say $10,000 capability on each one of those cards. Mm-hmm. But they're all empty, right? So they're all zero balance. Does the bank look at it as, all right, well, she could go out and spend $30,000. Or are they looking at what you have on there now? Because, like, I just got an American Express card, and they increased my balance to an uncomfortable amount for me to even have.
Like, I don't trust myself.
I'm like, why?
Where are we going?
Yeah, exactly. Why do I want that? I'd never want that much, like, on a card, ever. Right. You know what I mean?
Not that,
like,
you couldn't.
Yeah, I know.
Do it easily.
Yeah, but, I mean, so I wonder, now I'm looking at that.
We always wondered how that kind of factored into credit score, but what they tell us, the higher your limit is, the better your credit score is going to be.
Because the bank trusts that.
Because there's more availability, though. So, say, I guess the way they calculate it is percentage of outstanding debt as opposed to how much you could have.
Yeah.
So in other words, that's why we always tell people, and this is what we've been told, if you have, and just for easy math, $1,000 high limit on a card, you always want to keep your balances below 30% or below.
Yeah.
So credit card companies only report once a month. So when they report, if your balance is below that 30%, so $300 in this case, your score is going to go up. It's going to look upon you favorably because the percentage of how much you're using of your available credit limit, right?
Yeah.
Once you get over that, when they report that once a month, your score goes down.
Okay.
We don't know why they drew that line in the sand, how they came up, but that's what we've been told when we have people come in and talk to us.
Yeah.
Is the reporting all month end? Is it different for every credit
different
card?
That's the problem.
That's difficult.
And to try and get that information from your credit card company, it's like pulling teeth because you're talking to a customer service person that really doesn't know the answer.
Yeah.
So they'll tell you once every 30 days. Well, that's not the answer.
Based on when?
You're right. It's there is a date. Each card has a date.
Okay.
Whether, so sometimes I'll tell people, then ask for a manager. Sometimes the manager won't know.
Oh,
and I say, hang up and just get a different call center call back.
Yeah.
Eventually you'll get that day, because then we know it's reported, that new thing. Because people say, I just paid off all my credit cards, Dan. It's good to pull credit now. Let's go.
Well, yeah.
You know, and I pull, and nothing is showing what they're saying. I
say,
when did you pay this? We paid it last week. It should have shown by now. And
yeah.
No, that's not how it works. It's when they report to the credit bureaus. So then I have them do all these calls, and I warn them, it's going to be bad. Just set aside 6 hours to make these calls.
And this is sort of good for you to talk about this now, because that's why people should have their pre-approval letters done well before you're worried about when your credit card payments are going to hit for when you're pulling the credit the first time, right?
I always tell people that the earlier, because even if you're not buying for, and I'm sure we've talked about this before on the show, 6 months from now, a year from now, it's a luxury then for you to get your pre-approval early, because now we can get your score up above that 740.
Yeah.
Now your rate is going to be better. It's going to save you thousands and thousands of dollars in the long run by just making that call now, and then you can kind of see what you need to do. We can kind of talk about it, what will help your score grow. Now you're also, when you go to buy, it's the programs that you can qualify for are better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's so many things that it helps. It helps your rate. It's just, it's incredible.
One of the other things too is, I know when Casey was applying for a credit card when she was studying abroad, one of the mistakes that we made, and I didn't realize it, it's because of the same thing that you're talking about, is I said, all right, Casey, here's, you know, you have your bank account, here's your credit card to go with that account. So I want you to like charge something, you know what I mean? And then as soon as you charge it, just pay it off. Like don't buy something on your credit card unless you know you have the money in the savings account.
Right.
But she was never getting any credit because, you know what, she was paying it off. She was making the charge, paying it off at the same day.
Oh.
So it was never hitting the credit department because it was always a zero balance.
But it's also showing, though, that she's making positive payments, because they report that it's a card in good standing for 3 months, 4 months. Every time she does it, it's still going to grow.
But she always had a zero balance is what they were saying. And she had to wait until the statement came in to pay it. So she wasn't even waiting until the statement came in.
I guess you could do that the first time, but they have to report that you're making positive payments. Just because you pay it off, that doesn't mean you didn't make a payment.
But I think what she's, and the same day, that's...
I understand.
Is that the...
But she still charged it. Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay. So why would they not...
So that it should grow. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. So she made a positive payment. You shouldn't be penalized because you paid your balance down to zero.
A lot of people do that, and I see them in line in front of me. They'll charge something because they can get a discount.
Points.
It's points.
And then they go down the back and they pay it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do. That's exactly what I do. Instead of paying cash for something or debit, you get credit cards with good point systems, buy it and just pay it off monthly, and now you get extra points.
Yeah. That's what I use. I use Starwood. I love Starwood. Mm-hmm. Like it all, you know, I like that.
But
anyways, okay, so are there any other credit issues?
Well, there's
concerns?
Just different things. So, for instance, again, fixing a credit report when you have, for instance, a judgment. Sometimes people don't even know they have
a
judgment.
What's a judgment, Dan?
So
let's go there.
Judgment is if, say, you didn't pay a bill to, for example, a Verizon. They want to go to court. They take you to court and they put a judgment on you that you have to pay that. So now that's on your credit report. So whenever you go to buy, you can't buy a house with a judgment.
Other things that do not affect your credit report, like different utilities or your...
Utilities don't show up unless you... This is a funny kind of catch-22, and it's good and bad. They don't show up until it's derogatory. So if you make all your cell phone doesn't show up on your credit report unless somehow you didn't make your payment. Then you get a collection on you.
Oh,
now it shows up. So it doesn't help you, but again, it's good because now that monthly minimum payment isn't in your debt ratio either.
So right, that's what I was wondering about your debt. Yeah. So, sorry, Sharon.
That was the same question.
Because you still have your utilities, your food, your electric, all of those things, you know, when you have your...
The only thing in your debt ratio is installment debt or credit card debt.
So explain what an installment debt is.
Installment debt is a home or a car payment or something like that.
Okay.
So if you have car payments, then that will show up, right? And now a little thing with that, when your car payment is, you know, 10 months or under with a conventional loan, it can be eliminated from your debt ratio.
Oh, really?
Really? Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Huh.
So it's just...
Note to self.
Because they know it's being paid off in 10 months, unless the catch is it's a lease.
Oh, okay.
If you have a lease, no matter when, it could be one, you could have it paid off, but they know your lease might not be up yet.
Yeah.
You might have paid it early.
Yep.
Doesn't matter, because they know once your lease is up, you have to get another car.
So they
keep that in your debt ratio.
Okay. So is another thing that they factor in like insurance? I mean, if you have a car, they must know you have insurance.
Nope. That's not on there.
Okay.
So it's just, it'll be your credit card, and it's the minimum payment. So in other words, that's why some people get confused, like, oh, I have a card with a high balance on it. That's got to really kill me. Well, some cards have better interest rates than others, so that payment might be a little bit lower than a card with a lower balance.
Yeah.
That's why we were a little bit about those payments. You kind of look at the minimum payment and try and get the most bang for your buck when you're paying off a certain amount of cards if you only have, you know, allotted funds of, say, $4,000. So those credit cards show up, you know, mortgage, car payments. I'm trying to think of an example of something. And again, you'll never see, you know, the Verizons
a
until...
boat payment.
Boat payment, that's an installment debt.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so that would show up. But you wouldn't see, again, your credit, your phone bills until it's negative. Then it's on there.
So when you're sitting with people, though, let me go back and you're saying, okay, this is how much you can afford. You know, do you tell them that? Because I guess, you know, I'm thinking, okay, you're not really thinking. I mean, do you have like a budget sheet that you give to people and
no,
say,
what
well,
I tell
figure
them
it
is,
out?
This is ballpark what your payment's going to be. Because again, you can't give someone an exact number because you don't know what town they're buying in. So the taxes and the insurance might be higher in one town. They might have to get flood insurance. So you give them a ballpark payment and say, hey, this is kind of the neighborhood you're looking in. Do you feel comfortable with that?
Yeah.
Because some people feel more comfortable with that and some people don't. They might say, oh, geez, I don't want to be anywhere
based
near.
Based on all maybe their other payments. Do you do you figure in a percentage for all the other stuff
that's in
that
the debt
people
ratio? That's their debt ratio. So I don't figure in, you're talking like the food and the variety, the bills that are. No, because I don't know what they have. Some people might not have cable or might not have this or that. So that's why you tell them what their payment is and say, hey, now
you
think about it. This is your, you know, you're an adult.
Yeah.
Make your decision.
Well, and that would be the thing. Like if I was out there and I was renting, I guess if I was paying $1,800 a month for rent and he told me I could get a mortgage for $1,800, then I knew if I'm doing it now, I could still do it. Mm-hmm. But I think for first-time home buyers, too, I mean, but the other thing, too, is, I mean, yeah, you can afford that, but there's also, like, just the one thing was insurance. But are you even figuring it's all pity?
Yep.
So when you're doing that? Okay, so the insurance is included in that, I guess. But, like, trash bills and what if the water heater goes and having a reserve?
Exactly.
And
that's what you have to tell people. But then one thing you did touch on, I just wanted to go back. You said rent of $1,800 and a mortgage of $1,800.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, if that's equal, you're actually paying less for the mortgage because you get to deduct off your mortgage interest and your property taxes off of your taxes when that comes around. So if you amortize that over the year, you might be paying $1,500, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you're saving money. That's what the big advantage of buying your own home is. So yeah, there's other bills, but you have a lot of bills when you're renting.
Yeah.
Kind of the same amount. Do you see what I'm saying? But yeah, you're not fixing the water heater when you're renting, I guess. But that's a kind of a one-time fix.
Yeah. Well, I think not renting is probably better. I mean, you know, having your own place. I mean, at least I feel that in most situations, the market in real estate is going upward.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
historically, it always has. It's the best. Historically, it's the best investment you can make.
Mm-hmm.
So even when we had the blip in 2008, you know, from those down years, if you just held on to your house, the value's already back up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So people, when they were saying, I'm upside down, I'm underwater, I got to sell. And it's like, well, why do you have to sell?
Yeah.
Just don't sell. If you can just
wait.
Be patient, right? Don't sell and you'll be okay. And so unless your job made you move or there was some other reason, all you have to do is stay in there. Your payment doesn't go up just because you're, you know, quote unquote on paper, you're underwater.
Yeah.
It's not changing. So I think it's
a hard thing for people to swallow, though. It's like, you know what I mean? Here I am. It's like similar to like buying a car. You know, it's like, oh, you always want to do your research and you never want to be paying more than what it's worth, I guess. So, all right. Are we ready? No, are we ready? Not yet? Okay. So,
a different other problem. So that judgment, though.
Oh, yeah.
This is where things that can come up.
Sorry
where,
about that.
No, where there's problems. Like once a problem comes up, everyone just has to not be emotional. Just keep a cool head and everyone, you know, will figure out how to fix it. You know, if it's a fixable problem, then you have to figure out if it's a problem that's big enough where we got to move a closing date or if it's just a little problem where we can fix. So, for instance, I had a problem, though, two exact scenarios that should be the same. People had a judgment on the credit report.
Mm-hmm.
First guy, well, I paid that 4 years ago. I said, okay, get a letter from the company.
Right.
And then just go down to the courthouse, have them pay it. You know, show it's paid. He did that, walked in with a letter. They handed him the judgment satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
He sent that to me. We put it into the credit bureaus, had it removed.
Mm-hmm.
Easy. Same exact scenario. He paid it, got the letter, went to the courthouse. They said, no, it has to be faxed from the company. So I said, how can two things, you know, the same exact scenario? So it's kind of when you deal with people, it's there's that factor. So you can tell someone the best advice, and it's still not kind of work out correctly. You know, we're still working on it, but it's just amazing that you're at a courthouse, you think all the rules would be the same and mm-hmm. one person wouldn't be able to kind of mess this up because it's really putting a monkey wrench in the works for this guy because it's
really
taking some time.
Is the person that you get on the other side, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, it really is all about service.
You think about that when you call anyone. You call your Comcast.
Yeah.
The person you get on the other end, they can be super helpful or just act like they own part of the company and they just are negative against everything you want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
So once you figure that out, though, you just kind of work through the problems. Don't get emotional because that's when things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure you guys see it with home inspections or something like that.
Oh, never. You do?
I try to just tell. You know, it's so funny, though, when you go to home inspections, we have Steve. He's probably coming on again soon at some point, right, Steve mm-hmm. Cook? You know, he's calm like a cucumber, but, you know, we walk around these home inspections and people are... you know, and you know, a lot of it comes down to the agent as well, by the way. I mean, I've recently worked with a couple of agents and legitimately cannot get a word in edgewise, and that just causes problems. That's why I think having a good team on your side who's mm-hmm. there to negotiate and get over the, you know, the bumps and the hurdles with you is the person that you really want to have on your side. Real quick, one of the things Cindy said, I should tell everybody what pity is because we were just talking about that. Pity.
Because you pity me sometimes.
Have pity.
I occasionally pity you.
Yes, different kind of pity right there.
Yeah.
This one is principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. So when you make your mortgage payment to the bank, the portion of it goes to the principal, reducing the actual loan. The interest on the loan, the property taxes. Most people escrow their property taxes and their insurance. You don't. That's not 100% of the time, but most people do because it gets you actually a better rate depending on your loan to value. So that's what she means by pity.
Pity. Don't pity me.
Yeah.
But it's nice though. It's all inclusive, and then you don't have to really worry about paying your taxes. You
it's
know
basically
what I mean?
A forced savings plan.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. I think it's great. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to continue on our conversation about loans and pre-approvals and credit scores and all that great stuff. I know that you have a new program out there called Home Ready. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that for 3% down. And when we come back, we will talk about all that stuff with Dan Mann from Fairway Mortgage. We'll be right back.
Whether you're buying your first home, moving across town, or thinking about refinancing, you owe it to yourself to speak with a trusted mortgage advisor who can provide highly personalized service through every step of the loan process. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation's Marshfield branch is a well-respected local and national lender and can help you achieve both the short-term goal of home ownership and the long-term goal of financial security for you and your family. Recent uncertainty in the global markets has caused long-term fixed rates to go down. In fact, they are once again at historic lows. Give Fairway Marshfield a call at 781-536-4172 to see if we can refinance your existing loan and save you money. Oftentimes, we can reduce your rate or the term of your loan with $0 in closing costs, potentially saving you thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. Give us a call today and let Fairway Marshfield show you the fairway. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS 2289, is an equal housing lender. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify. Information, rates, and programs are subject to change without notice. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Mass Branch License 338980.
Plumbing problems are inevitable. Sad to say, do not fix it yourself. After all, that's your home you're living in. McNamara Plumbing. New construction, renovations, repairs, service calls. McNamara Plumbing, fully insured. 781-294-7100. McNamara Plumbing.
Are you thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300.
This is Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford on 95.9 WATD.
And we're back. Good morning to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara along with Cindy Ford, and we have Daniel Mann here. You are listening to, we're like Three's Company here, right? Come and knock on a door. So we listened to that a little bit earlier.
You missed your calling.
Yeah, I did. I did.
I hope I'm Jack at least.
Are you Jack?
Suzanne Am I Jack Summers in this? Yeah.
Who's
DeWitt. Who's the one?
I'll be Suzanne Summers. Yeah.
Yeah, because you made a fortune on that thigh master.
Yeah, the thigh master. I love to exercise. It might as well be me, right?
Well, I know. I can't remember a question, but I do remember the thigh master. But you should be a millionaire. What are we doing here?
I know. What are we doing here?
Yeah, what are you doing with all the thigh master money?
I know, right? Apparently not using it on these thighs, by the way. I
think that people wanted their money back.
Yeah,
I think exactly. They thought it was a scam.
We have Daniel Mann here from Fairway Mortgage, and he is, of course, the main sponsor here at our show, Talk Real Estate. And you can listen to our podcast, as we've been saying. So you can go to Talk Real Estate Radio and find our podcast and all our past shows. You can also go to bostonconnect.com. While you're there, you can also do some searching and find any open houses that are going on. If you're looking for a new home, of course, you can do a property search on the website. We have all kinds of great blogs and all kinds of information about all of us and all of the agents over at Boston Connect. We have 45 agents there, which is wonderful. So we have our office here located on the South Shore in Pembroke, which touches Hanover, Marshfield, and Duxbury. We're close to Kingston, Norwell, all those areas. We're sort of expanding outward. Yeah, and some of our agents now, with 45 agents, we have people who are from, you know, the Boston area.
Yes.
So, yeah, actually, I'm getting a listing in Hyde Park soon, and that will be fun. And,
yeah
we're sort of spreading out. We have an office in Bridgewater as well, so all of the agents over there are sort of branching out as well. Yeah. So they're hitting Easton and Brockton and Lakeville and Middleborough, Fall River.
Wareham,
Onset. You were there last night. Yeah,
yes.
So we have agents all over. So we have you covered no matter where you are. So we're talking again with Daniel Mann from Fairway Mortgage, and we're just talking about what you can do to improve your credit score. You talked about earlier, and bad pre-approvals, and what we were just talking about that you wanted to
continue on. Different problem, you know, that may arise, like a low appraisal. Kind of affects all of us, you know, your end as well as our end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, different things it happens, because what's happening now is this, the inventory is so low, I'm sure you guys know, that when a property comes on, there's bidding wars. Mm-hmm. So people, you know, probably aren't in their right minds when they're putting offers in, because they need to find a place to live.
They're buying with emotion right now, Dan. It's very similar to back in the day, 2004 and 2005. It made me uneasy then. It makes me uneasy now.
So what happens now, though, they may get it under agreement at, say, it was, I don't know, on for $300,000. They get it under agreement for $325,000.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't necessarily mean the appraisal is going to come in at $325,000 because the you know, when the realtor did, you know, the evaluation of the price, I don't know, what do you guys call that for?
CMA, comparative market analysis.
Yep. So you came up with a $300,000 for a reason.
Yeah.
You weren't just guessing, or you would have brought it up at $325,000.
Yeah.
So an appraiser does a similar job. They, you know, go out and look at the comps that have sold, and if they can't come up with that $325,000, if there's not a reason, it's better condition, maybe something that gets it up to that $325,000, well, that appraisal might come in at $300,000. So now what do you do?
Yeah.
You can't, the bank isn't going to give a loan for $325,000 on something that's only worth on paper $300,000. I mean, what do you do?
Well, why would they, really?
Right, why would they? It's a bad investment. It's a bad. So there's something, you know, there's different things. You got to keep a level head, though. You can't get emotional. You can maybe go back to the seller and say, listen, this is why you were on for $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you guys have had this conversation a lot.
Well, yeah, when I'm sitting with people and I'm doing an analysis for them, I actually bring them into the office. I bring MLS up and I say, these are where the numbers are, you know, because, you know, sometimes, you know, when you do an analysis and you just, you know, come to somebody's house with paper, they're not seeing everything. Mm-hmm. They're only seeing the things that you chose as an agent. And in some instances, maybe agents are choosing higher items, you know, like, oh, I want to get this listing. Or maybe they're choosing lower item, the sale prices, because I just want this to sell quickly. I want my clients to see everything.
Right.
And we sort of pick and choose together,
right,
you know. So that, I think, helps them really understand what the market is doing, because everybody out there right now is hearing the market is great, things are going flying off the shelves, you know, I'm gonna price my house over the range you're suggesting, and then they come back to me and say, well, why isn't my house selling?
Right.
Well, because everybody else can see those numbers too.
Right.
And the appraisers can see them. And the appraisers are under such scrutiny right now that it isn't like back in 2005 where, you know, they were just saying, hey,
sure,
it's my brother buying the house. Can you get the appraisal up? Right. It doesn't work that way anymore.
No, not at all.
But some people don't understand that that's what they think, you know, the difference between price and value.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me over my asking price. So that's, but the actual value isn't there. And that's what appraisers are worried about.
I like that. I like that. There's a difference between price and value. I like that. Oh, let's just write
that
down.
I'm going to see that somewhere.
Dan Mann. Yep, you will.
But you won't see who gave the quote.
Yes, I will.
Oh, yes, she will.
Per Dan Mann. I wrote it right there. Per Dan Mann. But the other thing, too, is like one of the things, even if you're not, you know, buying a house right now, but you're thinking about selling your house, these are things that you have to consider, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know we have a lot of properties, certain price ranges in certain towns are flying and they're getting over asking, okay? Mm-hmm. But don't be mesmerized by those over asking prices, because they're also putting in the clause, the house is, you know, the sale price to appraise at or above sale price. So if somebody gives you $50,000 over the list price, don't be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to take that, especially if they're putting 3% down and doing mass housing, right? Because if they can't come up with that other money. Can we talk about that, though? Because I get that question all the time. When, okay, so somebody actually just said it to me the other day, and it's hard to explain. If I have my house on the market for $300,000, somebody gives me an offer for $350,000.
Mm-hmm.
The appraiser comes back at
$325,000.
Mm-hmm. Why could the buyer come up with $25,000?
Yes.
Okay. And then it makes it okay?
Yes, but it has, but then they have to put down whatever their original, you know, you could change a program. So say they were putting 20% down on $350,000, but now it comes in at $325,000. Well, maybe they had that 20%, right? Well, they're going to use $25,000 of it as cash, and now that 20% isn't a full 20%. So you might change programs to, say, a 15% down, down program. But you can do it, but do you want to do that? And that's one of the things I was saying. When you have a low appraisal, there's different ways you can come about. You can renegotiate with the seller and say, hey, come down to the $325,000. Here's the appraisal. This is what it's worth. I mean, or do you want to put it back on the market? And you get people that we've had this happen, put their house back on the market, even when their own realtor is telling them it's over market value. You're not going to get that. It's just going to sit. Why don't you just sell it at this price? So that's one alternative. Again, you can come up with the
cash. Because if you don't, you're waiting for that perfect buyer that has, I mean, and let's just use that number for $300,000. It isn't like there are many people in that $300,000 range that are going to have 20% to put down. Let's face it, they're generally 3 to 5, right?
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And they don't have a lot of cash.
And they're not going to have the cash.
But as a buyer's agent, I don't want my client to pay more, because now you have negative equity in the house based on the appraisal, right?
Yes, basically.
Like, so I don't want to do that to them.
I agree. So
even if they're putting 20% down or 30, I don't.
Unless there's some reason that, you know, we can't quantify that, you know, for some reason they actually love this house, or there's something that it has, maybe, I don't know, wheelchair ramp, or it's dogs, it's good for their animals, something that sets it apart that they're willing to pay that extra cash, I would never tell someone to do that.
No, right? Okay.
But in some instances, too, I mean, a home is worth what somebody's willing to pay for. Right.
That's the other aspect.
So,
if
look, he just pointed at me like I was so smart, and I liked that.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, well, I saw it.
I was just thinking how great your eyes look with that dress.
Oh, well, thank you.
Really?
So what those people, like, it's worth, a home is worth what somebody is willing to pay for it. But for someone who's thinking about, like, a long term, like, I'm going to be here for the long term, just like with my investments, I don't even open the envelopes because I'm sort of in it for the long term.
Right.
So I don't, that I don't care, but I don't know if I'm dropping. I don't know if it's up higher.
I don't wanna know. Right.
Yeah, you know, so if you're in a home, like, you've been in your house 23 years. I've been in my house 23 years. We are not the norm, by the way.
No.
According to the National Association of Realtors, people move every 7 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We just...
I don't know, maybe I'm too lazy.
You chose well. Yeah. Well, actually, moving is one of the worst things on earth.
Right. So we see it every day.
We shouldn't be saying that right now.
You're right. But
I think our job is to help people buy and sell houses.
It's a great thing. It's no secret. Yeah. Moving stinks. Packing boxes isn't fun.
Yeah.
But when you get into the new place and you're at your new pool,
yeah.
It's great.
But you know what? If you listen to last week's show, we had Bill Balow on from Gallo Movers, and you don't have to pack a single thing. You can have them come and they can move. Move and store and wrap
on the podcast.
Everything.
I will.
Yeah, you can listen to the podcast.
I will.
Okay. Bill Balow, you move me. Wah, wah. You ever hear his commercial?
No. I'm going to have to listen to it now, though.
Wah, wah. There we go.
There we go.
I got to find something fun like that for mine, then.
Oh, my God.
Yes, you do.
And please, how good is Ryan? Seriously. If I could just bring him around with me, so every time I'm thinking something funny, he could make a noise in the background.
He follows you with a sound effects machine.
No, that would be good. Great.
Yes.
That is good, isn't it? I know. Look at Dan. I swear to God, like, you just like giggle and laugh. But you're a doll, and we're so happy to have you. So how am I doing on time? Anyways, I'm not even sure. The clock in here isn't working. 8 minutes. All right. Look at us. We're just like cruising along. Okay. So what are some of the other things that you want to talk about there?
Is there any other problems that you guys are running into on your end?
Yes, there was problems. So one thing that I wasn't aware of was, first of all, I want to talk about two things, I guess, since it's my time to ask questions. Then you can sit there and think of something.
Oh, okay.
Because I think of something to say.
Oh, that's what she's going to do with her time? That's
That'll be a first. Oh, I can think?
Wow.
Do I want to, though? Yeah, that's the question.
Well, think of a good question. But it isn't going to beat this one. No.
Her head already hurt, she said.
It does. I know. And I've already, I forgot my question. No, seriously, the two of you.
Did you write it down?
No, it's about title insurance, right? About getting that. So I know that that isn't really your thing that you do, and that's generally something that's, you know, comes from the attorneys, right? So maybe we can have Jim Sweeney finally join us on the show,
and
he can talk about that. But I find it's really important in a situation where one of my listings, actually, there were two payoffs that in dischargers that were not recorded. Mm-hmm. So the homeowner had to go back, you know, 5 years ago, find the attorney that did it because he couldn't find anything. He couldn't find his HUD. He couldn't find any of that stuff. And he had purchased that property. It was a FSBO, by the way. So that's what if he hadn't, I keep all of my HUDs for all my clients. So we have them. But he didn't know if he had purchased the policy or not. Ultimately, he did not. But they had to find the discharges and make sure that, you know, improve that they will be recorded. So they were able to do that. So
what's a FSBO, Sharon?
For sale by owner.
Okay.
Not a good idea.
We're learning a lot today. Pity. Sale by owner.
We pity FSBOs.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Two ways. But title insurance, so the Cliff Notes version kind of is basically when, if there's any lien against the property, that's what it protects you against. So sometimes they're recorded improperly. So when you're buying a house, you get a title search done.
Mm-hmm.
So the attorney looks. But that's for recorded things. So if something, especially on an older house, wasn't recorded properly and it pops up later and you don't have your title insurance, you lose your equity. So that's because there's two types. There's lender's title insurance, which is mandatory.
Yep.
You can't do a loan without it. So a bank will not do a loan unless they have lender's title insurance. But then there's owners, and people, that's optional.
Mm-hmm.
People always ask me, should I do it? What's it for? I always say if it's important enough for a bank to not do a loan without it, then it's probably pretty important for you to make sure you have it. I did it when I bought my house. It's a one-time fee. It's not like insurance every year. It's a different thing. But it protects you, and there's no reason not to do it.
And I see more often than not that people need it. And it's just, you never know in a simple situation like this. I mean, you don't know if those discharges were not recorded. And sometimes people don't even know that, like, if you pay off, like, an equity line or something like that, some banks will send it to you. And people think, oh, yay, it's paid off, and they burn it. Well, no, you're supposed to bring it to the Registry of Deeds, and you're supposed to get it recorded.
Right.
And a lot of people don't read the other part of the letter that came with it, so they don't do that. The other thing I want to talk about really quickly, too, is deed restrictions. And I think that that's really important because I just came upon a situation with a client where there was a deed restriction because it's in a historical area.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also a donation. It was like the Audubon Society is selling this house, but they put a deed restriction in there saying that anytime any purchaser of this house sells this house, they will give a 3% donation back to the Audubon Society. So my client is happy with that. I mean, they're fine to do that. The land abuts the Audubon Society, so they're willing to do that. But what ended up happening was there was a deed restriction came up, and the bank was like, no, we're not giving you that. So
because it affects marketability of the property.
Marketability of the property. And what their loan officer told me was that it would then, if like if they foreclosed on the property, then the bank would not only have all the other fees included in a foreclosure, right. but now they're going to have to pay 3%.
Right.
So they ended up having to have their attorneys work on everything and have the restriction, actually the deed restriction, pulled.
Oh, they could do that, huh?
Well, because this is the first time the Audubon Society has sold this house in particular.
Right.
So it hadn't really been filed yet. So it just ended up being on a purchase and sales agreement on an addendum. So the appraiser found it and right. brought it to everybody's attention a week before closing. So ooh. That was fun.
So that was not stressful at all right there.
No. So we're coming to the end. I already said if you need any help or assistance in purchasing a home, finding out what the value of your home is, you can give us a call. Sin, why don't you give everybody your phone number?
781-367-4419.
Perfect. And my number is 781-294-4848. You can also reach us at 781-826-8000 at the office, and we'd be more than happy to help you with your home buying needs and home selling needs. Daniel, how can everybody get in touch with you?
You can call the office and ask me at 781-536-4172.
And can we have that number one more time?
781-536-4172.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Daniel Mann, for joining
thank
us again
you.
From Fairway Mortgage.
Thank
and
you.
They are the
fun.
Main sponsor of our radio show here at WATD. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, everyone.